Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
I remembered to unmute my mic, and I'm Ryan Key.
Nailed it.
I never forget to unmute my mic. Mike Forrester. Hey, what's up, dudes? We made
Mike
it
with the mic
to 2024, just like I said we would.
We're still alive.
And we have new Star Wars
200
news.
We're over 200 episodes from this little gig that Adam and I started in my dad's office in his house.
We really have grown up.
When I was visiting, when was episode one? When did we record it? I think I was there for Christmas, right?
2020.
Well, we recorded in 2019.
Yeah, I was there for Christmas 2019 at my parents' house. And I set up my laptop and like a flashlight in my dad's office, and we recorded the first episode.
It only took a year to put it out, you know, and like three re-recordings, yeah.
It's crazy that we're still doing it. I'm very proud of us, even though I'm the weakest link in the group. I know I'm never here, but you know, I love you guys and happy new year. And this is amazing that we're still keeping this dream alive.
Love you, bud. We're making moves. There's some big stuff coming in just a couple months, probably.
Yeah, there is.
We've moved to YouTube. You know, we're like 40 episodes into YouTube, I think almost. So we're doing stuff. We got a bunch of ideas, got a bunch of things on the horizon.
Love it.
All right, we are limited severely with time. Ryan has offspring. I'm leaving for a tour in like 36 hours.
Not the band.
Not the band. So we're going to talk about some Star Wars news. Some awesome things dropped just yesterday at the time of this recording, so on New Year's Day. And it, you know, it's on the surface like, okay. But there's some stuff to be inferred, and there's some interesting things about streaming numbers and stuff. So we're going to get into all that. And if you have any questions or if you have any insights or anything, hit us with a super chat. Patrons, of course, are in the Discord stream chat. So let's get right into it. Did you guys see there were two things. One, Netflix dropped because of, it's per like Writers Guild new stuff in the new agreement about paying more for more streams, you know, paying actors and writers more.
Sure.
I don't know specifics on this. So Netflix dropped like all of their data. And then some other streaming data came out from WIP Media, which is essentially like the, you know, the equivalent of Nielsen. You know, it's kind of like the streaming era version of that. They use something called the TV time tracking app. So this is, you know, it's a sample of the larger U.S. streaming data. And again, this is U.S. streaming data. The Mandalorian was the number one most watched original series in the U.S. in 2023.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And so validating for what we nerds get together once a week to do here on Thank the Maker.
Yeah.
It really is, man.
Yeah.
There's so much content in the world right now. There's so many things to choose from. You know, I've been saying this for years about music. It's not even a negative thing. It's like more of an existential question. Like, how can you be expected as a fan, especially a young fan of music, to pay attention to anything for more than 3 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, we're dealing right now in pop music with how to write a song because I'm not going to have to deal with this personally. Probably Adam, you're not going to have to, but young artists are having to deal with this where A&R guys and labels, people, they're A&R men and women, I should say, you know, the old, we always say the A&R guy. That's really dated and I apologize. But you know, they're telling artists to put the chorus of the song at the beginning because that's how it's going to get on TikTok and no one's going to pay attention. If there's no words right at the beginning of the song, there's no words there. If there's no words, no one's going to get it. And so I've been saying for a long time, like, how is this even possible to overcome? And I don't know that I have an answer for it because it is so oversaturated due to streaming. So the point of this rant, for an offshoot storyline born of a character that had 40 seconds of screen time to be the number one most streamed program, as my grandma called her shows, on TV. I mean, it's all TV now, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're actually watching it on a TV. We still call it, it's on TV.
Right.
That is wild, man. And I am so proud to be a part of this fandom, and especially to be a part of this fandom in the way that we are, where we celebrate this new content. We celebrate these actors and writers and directors who are creating all of this new, incredible Star Wars for ourselves and Mike, you know, our kids, like just creating a story that is going to live on for ages. And the Mandalorian that takes the top spot, first on the grid, winner at Monaco. This is, it's just crazy.
Let's go.
It's crazy.
What's interesting, so what's interesting about it, we look at the, so we're looking at the WIP Media put out this graphic that basically is goes all the way up to 20, right? And you look at some of the other shows that are on here, and you've got Loki in second place. You've got Ted Lasso in third place, which was probably, in terms of like cultural relevance, I'm sure there was a lot of people that watched that from overseas. It's a show based in the UK. So there's a lot of, there's probably something that plays a factor in there. Then you have Black Mirror, which is a English show that's over on, that's in Netflix. And then you have Secret Invasion, you have The Bear. What else is interesting, in the number nine spot is actually Ahsoka. So what's pretty rad about all of this, and I think that's
interesting. Tell me about it. I think
if you're Disney right now, you're going, let the people on the internet be mad about whatever they want to be mad about. But at the end of the day, we have two, we have technically between Secret Invasion, Loki, Ahsoka, and The Mandalorian, we have four shows in the top 10 that people are watching, no matter how much the internet feels it's opinionated about quality, whatever. Yep. People are watching the shows, and sometimes that's actually what it's all about, to keep the fandom refreshed and keep the fandom going, to produce and consume more content. So I think this is a great thing. This is awesome. I think season three, people can have their opinions about what season three was or how it ended. But personally, if you're Bob Iger right now and you're looking at information, you're going, okay, what are our next steps here? I think they pretty much figured they already knew this, and that's why Filoni is where Filoni is. So
yes,
this is pretty tactical.
And I don't know how many episodes back it was that this like really came up and we went kind of in depth and talked about this.
Right.
The nerds have won. We've won.
Yep.
We there are more of us. There are. And this is proof. Look at that. Look at those numbers. Look at those shows and the content that they are based on. I mean, it's like, I don't know what to say. It's really like the nerds have won, dude. I mean, for the top 10 shows on all streaming services to have that many shows based on science fiction and superheroes, it's just proof. It's proof of how loved this type of content is and has been for generations. This isn't a new thing. This is comic book and magic card playing Star Wars fan kids who are grown up and still in love with this content. And that's how these numbers are being posted. And it's amazing.
I mean, it's 2/3 of the top 10, The Mandalorian, Loki, Black Mirror, Secret Invasion, Ahsoka, and The Witcher. This is all nerd category stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Granted, you know, Black Mirror touches on a lot of other stuff. It's not like hard sci-fi, but it's all, you know, it's got dystopian near future vibes to it. So it's not, you know, mainstream in the way that some other things are. So it's the vast majority of the top 10. And then you go on, number 11 is Gen V, the Boys spinoff.
Yep.
We've got Silo in number 15, which is amazing.
Yep.
By the way, on Apple TV+. Invincible.
Yep.
On Amazon, you know, a cartoon. some of these others, I don't know them specifically. The Night Agent, I feel like that is, there's some nerd tones to that, right? I don't know exactly what it's about.
I mean, you have Shrinking, which I thought was an amazing show. That was an awesome show. That was kind of a lighthearted family comedy. But everything else, I mean, this, you have a lot of drama in here too, which I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like what people are into right now. You've got, between Shrinking and Ted Lasso, those are probably at least the most like lighthearted shows that are on here. But I think what people are seeing in this regard is like people want, I mean, the long form storytelling is certainly here. You on Netflix, I didn't watch that, but I think is that a continuation? That's like a multiple season thing?
They're on season 3 or 4 or something.
Okay, so you have The Witcher, which is on multiple seasons. You have The Bear, which is sitting at the number 8 spot, which is on its second season. So like, it's interesting that you say that, Ryan, about attention spans, because all of these shows are multiple season shows. I was just going to say,
this gives me hope, dude, because I'm not sure what shows I would use as an example and sound super judgy. Like if you watch this show, because I would sound that way if I said it, but this content gives me hope, man, that people are the majority of people still are seeking meaningful, well-made, well-written content. Because even if you sift through this and you're not just looking at, you know, the sci-fi stuff that we love,
right,
you know, Ted Lasso and Only Murders in the Building and The Bear being in the top 10, those are you know, groundbreaking, original shows.
Right.
And so people are not whereas so often, because the internet has this megaphone for low quality comments and content, we feel like that's winning. You know, we feel that the lowest common denominator is you know, dumbing down art and content. But this is proof that it's not, and it's really inspiring.
Right.
One thing to note, though, just to clarify, if anyone's missing this is U.S. only data. So who knows what's going on in the rest of the world? Because the Netflix data, there were some discrepancies, but no one can really see the full data set.
This also doesn't include reality TV.
Right.
I don't want to know.
But it is most watched original series for streamers. So this wouldn't include anything on cable or over the air network shows that are also streamed. You know, so if there's a cable deal in place,
this is going to be like Yellowstone or something like that is not going to be on this list.
Exactly.
Right.
But still, you know, if the streamers are looking at what they can do, what, you know, what the potential is, they're seeing something like The Mandalorian and going, okay, maybe this doesn't work to put it on, you know, on Meemaw's cable package, but it's going to crush for the kids.
Even though Mandalorian...
I don't think my Meemaw even had cable.
Well, even though like...
Rest your soul.
The Mandalorian just also came out with Steelbooks too. So, I mean, they're trying to get the Mandalorian verse out there for sure. And I think it just goes to show that like the appetite for Mando and those stories, people either want Grogu, Baby Yoda, or they want our favorite silver helmeted, whatever the
gunslinger.
We call it the gunslinger. Our stream chat calls it like daddy or whatever they're into right now. So, you know, we got to go with the kids. Right. And they're all just as old as us, but so I think this is really encouraging in my opinion, looking at it, especially with people's opinions of course, because we're in a lull right now for new content, which we're getting to in our next point. Everyone's sitting here being like, what is Star Wars going to do? Like, what are we going to do? Right. Like, what is Star Wars doing? I'm like, I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think they're figuring it out.
They're good.
I think the bigger headline here is Ahsoka at number 9, going to be honest.
I agree.
And Mando number 1 is actually surprising. It is.
Sure.
Mando being number 1, it surprises me. I wouldn't have expected it. So that is a huge headline. But I think that for all the reasons we've discussed about Ahsoka needing all the backstory and them just jumping right in with all these characters, and I listened to our episode last week. Great pod, by the way, Adam. You're great at it. You're really good. I was listening to that, and we were talking about Ezra and how, you know, Ezra, there's no backstory episode for Ezra. It doesn't go all the way back into how he became how he was found and his journey and how he ended up where he was and all. Like, we talked about how what a bold choice that was for them to make this show and make it in the style and in the style and with the commitment that they made it. And so I think having that show in the top 10 of all streamers is a big deal.
Especially considering you think about Mando season 3, you assume some not so insignificant percentage of the viewers went back and rewatched after they got all hyped on season three, but Ahsoka only had the one season. So that says a lot.
And the metric has to go across the entire season to place that high. It's not like just the first episode when everyone was all hyped. And then we're like, I don't know these characters. I'm not going to watch it anymore.
Yeah.
The quality of that first episode was so high that it kept people engaged, and they want to find to answer our question. Are people going back to find out who these characters are now? Are they interested in Rebels? Are they, I think, and maybe not everyone, but a lot of people are based on this result, because to keep watching the show all the way to the end, who is Thrawn? What is all that? People don't know, but they're still watching it in numbers great enough to place it in the top 10. I think it's a really big deal. And so promising for what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. Hey, shout out to the homie Mike Cronin for the super chat. And my 30 Seconds to Mars is the name of a band. It's not a fact.
Not yet.
He said, can't wait to hear Mos Eisley. Can't wait for Mos Eisley. Happy New Year. Shout out to anyone who got the pop star quote. Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code thankthemaker with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code thankthemaker to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Okay, so second little news bit. It wasn't huge, but upcoming director of the new Rey film, Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy, was on. It was the CNN New Year's Eve thing. They brought, you know, she was on for like a New Year's interview, and they talked briefly about the upcoming Rey film, and then talked about her work with. It's like a Pakistani young filmmakers program to like fund young female filmmakers in Pakistan and all this great stuff. But so she talked very briefly about the Rey film at the top and said, I'm very thrilled about the project because I feel we're about to create something very special. We're in 2024 now, and it's about time we had a woman come forward to shape a story in a galaxy far, far away.
You know what this quote made me think? As you all know, listeners of the pod and my friends here on the pod, I'm a huge fan of Steven Knight. Peaky Blinders could possibly be my favorite.
Boy.
Could be my favorite non-Star Wars content of all time. I really think it might be.
Dude, bold claim. I got bad news.
That's a bold claim.
I got bad news for you that I'll tell you.
Why, is he out?
No.
Is he out?
Bad news for maybe our friendship. I'll tell you after the show.
Oh, I wouldn't expect you to like love it the way I love it, though. I don't. The bad news. I don't know.
It's a weird thing. I'll tell you after.
Okay. Well, either way.
Ominous.
I've been singing the guy's praises from the start, and you know how excited I am that a gritty, dramatic writer that his stuff is so based in realism and you know, just boots on the ground. It just the way his characters are so grounded and so real. I'm really excited for him, as you all know, to be a part of this project. But I started thinking when I read that quote, when she said, you know, it's about time we had a woman, a female lead, or whatever the quote is, changing the story or writing the story.
Sure.
And I thought about Helen McCrory's character in Peaky Blinders. She plays Aunt Polly. And she is in the show. She's sort of the matriarch of the family, right? And so she's got these young men under her that are running the family business of crime and betting and murder and heroin and all the cool stuff in the show. Heroin's not cool, but the show is cool. Without her, spoiler alert, without her, things really, really begin to come apart. He wrote her in such a beautiful, strong, incredible way, but also wrote her as this beautiful woman, you know, like he's just such a good writer, man. And when Polly was sort of on the show, like when she was discovering love again, you know, she's I don't know, she's 50 something on the show, 40 something on the show, and she's alone later in life. But she's like, you get to see that side of her, but then you also get to see, you know, a lot of what we're going to see with Ray, I would assume and think, this emboldened, passionate warrior, leader, female character. And when I read that quote today, that's just what I thought about. And, you know, Helen passed before the final season of Peaky Blinders. It's really tragic, but really beautiful send off they gave her on the show. But, just a tribute to her when I read that quote, that it was the first thing that came to my mind was her performance and the script that was written for her, the character that was created for her, because what a performer and what a job she did on that show. But that's all to say that I can't imagine what this dude is going to do with a talent like Daisy Ridley. It's just going to be, as I've said all along, giving her the opportunity to step outside of sort of the more kind of, for lack of a better word, I don't think they mean this in a bad way, but like kind of campy OT dialogue that lived in the sequel trilogy as well. You know, the kind of like make snap, you know, shooting jokes off about this or that in serious situations, letting her, what I think this film is going to be, play the role in a much more serious, much more dramatic way. It's going to be amazing, dude. She's got it in her.
Charmaine also has her kind of roots in documentary filmmaking.
Yeah.
So that seems like a really interesting, compelling combination, you know, a writer like that with, like you said, the you know, the realism.
That's why I think it's such a good fit.
Yeah. I think it's going to be amazing. You know, she's a 2-time Oscar winner already. She's under the age of 40, I think, and has already won 2 Oscars. So
I thought you were, by the way, I did think you were, cause you know me, I'm not scouring the internet to prepare for our podcast. I just show up and wing it. I thought you were about to be like, you didn't see the news, bro. Oh, he's not writing it anymore. I was like, no.
No, they got Michael Bay.
Ray Skywalker, a Michael Bay film.
It's going to be hot.
So many lens flares.
Ray Skywalker's got low-rise jeans and
giant hoop earrings.
I mean, I will say that like a solid DL-44 double blaster shot from underneath with like a slow flyover of an X-Wing.
Rotating camera.
Spinning.
I'm here for that.
Spinning around. Yeah, sure.
I'm here for that.
Right. Bad Boys in Space. You know, I think what's interesting about this, the other side of this, is of course, like in how shitty our news is in terms of what people are relying on, is always clicks. It's always like, what can we put in it as a salacious headline so that people will rage click? And you know, she said this quote that means something to her, because like for her, this is actually a tremendously large deal for a feature film in Star Wars, which has never been done. And so, of course, all the comments of all the people who feel that their opinion is so important, as they comment in the IGN.com section, are like, oh, wow, are we just completely forgetting about Deborah Chow and Bryce Dallas Howard? And you're like, at the time, it's not taking anything away from them, because they still have made some of my favorite episodes of Mandalorian, of Book of Boba Fett. Like they have absolutely crushed that project. But for a feature film, this actually is a historic first time. You do have Victoria Maroney, or Mahoney, that was the second unit director on Rise of Skywalker. So we do, there's all kinds of technicalities that we can call out in regards to female representation and the director side of things in Star Wars. But this is a big deal. But of course, our news cycle is like, well, how can we project that, you know, she says a quote that she's obviously excited about for herself, to get as many rage clicks as we can on, you know, a toxic fanboys on the internet who want to come out and say like, whoa, she doesn't even know this. It's like, here we go. So I think a lot of this is frustrating, because it's over, at least in our side of things. People are trying to downplay the importance of this, but it's a humongous deal. Between how good the writing is going to be, between how excited Daisy is to be back in this character, and how important Rey is to the future of Star Wars, this is fantastic news. And I'm super excited, actually, that it's the first Star Wars project in the next slate to kick off for this year. I'm in. Let's go.
And as a reminder, I think we covered this at the time that she said it, but Daisy number one, when she came up on stage at Celebration, didn't even find out about any of this until like a month and a half before or something. She and Kathleen Kennedy were the only ones who knew that she was coming up that day. And in regards to the script, she said she hadn't, she hasn't read a draft yet, but she's read, I guess, the treatment. And she said it isn't all what she, at all what she expected, but it's really cool and it's really, really worth telling, worth exploring. And she thinks people are going to be stoked.
She's saying, and she said it wasn't what she was expecting because yeah. God, I want to be right. It's just mm-hmm. like that Stephen Knight treatment. It's sure. like this really heavy, really intense. She's, you know, she's used to playing Rey in the J.J. Abrams Star Wars Star Trek way. And she got this treatment that's on the ground in Birmingham, Peaky Blinders style. And it's like, whoa, this is gritty. This is real. This is gnarly.
Right.
I hope that's what she means by that.
Yeah.
And for Daisy to say that is, before we get to our next point, like for Daisy to say that is actually pretty exciting because we're all assuming that it's her starting a new Jedi Academy. Like that's mm-hmm. the natural thing of where we would leave things off. Right. So for mm-hmm. Daisy to say, it's not at all what I expected, kind of like,
and maybe it's not that
I'm like that. I'm peaked. I'm in, let's figure this out. So this is exciting in a lot of ways. And I'm thrilled that we have more Rey. I think we have an idea for a really great episode on that regard that I hope that we're able to do, but I'm excited for more Rey. Give me more Rey. Bust that yellow lightsaber out. Let's go.
Yeah, dude. And she's such a talent. That's what I'm saying. We've seen a lot of talent from her. That's, again, I don't want to discredit what she's already done, but I think you can see when she's performing in the sequel trilogy, how much more is in there.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see it.
She's brilliant. You know who else is stoked about Daisy Ridley and getting more Daisy Ridley?
Mm.
The hype, goosebumps just went everywhere on my whole body.
Mm.
The hype is through this drop ceiling, through the floor, through the roof. Here it is. John Williams.
Let him know.
In an interview with the Times, the UK newspaper publication, said, "I don't care much for grand pronunciamentos." I don't know that word.
Pronunciamentos?
Yeah. Don't know that word. It's first time for me. Statements that are firm and finished and surrounded by closed doors. He's not into that. "If I made one without putting it in context, then I withdraw it." In regards to the idea that he's retiring, right? Or that he's been retired.
91 years old.
91. My favorite musician's 91. He said, "If a film came along that I was greatly interested in with a schedule that I could cope with, then I wouldn't want to rule anything out. Everything is possible. All is before us. Only our limitations are holding us back."
All is before us, the man said.
Or to put it more simply, I like to keep an open mind.
So he sat around for 2 years and went, you know, I'm bored. I'm ready to get back to work. And I'm sure Kathleen called and said, "John, listen, we have more for you to do." And John was like,
but we're connecting the dots here because he's on record talking about how important it was in the sequel trilogy to be the only one who made music for Daisy Ridley and Rey.
Yes.
He was like, "I know it's late in the game for me because I'm 700 years old, but I am not going to let anyone else compose music, even based on the theme I wrote for the first one."
Yeah.
It wasn't like, okay, well, I wrote her theme and it's going to keep getting used. He was like, no, I'm not even going to let anyone reinterpret that theme into new motifs yeah. for the new movies because that character means everything to me. And watching Daisy Ridley, who he references specifically about her performance and watching her and meeting her and what an incredible talent she is,
right.
that inspired him enough to come back for Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. It has to be this movie.
I agree.
So here's the quote. Here's the direct quote in the immediate wake of The Force Awakens. "I don't want anyone else to write music for Rey. I would be very jealous because if you've seen The Force Awakens, Daisy Ridley captured, she absolutely commanded the screen with Harrison Ford for 2 hours. A very gifted girl I became crazy about from the first frame of the film." And then the quote you mentioned about The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker leading up to that, this was him, you know, playing coy, you know, not letting it out because there's been speculation about his retirement for the past 10 years, right?
Right.
He said, "If I can do it, I certainly will. I told Kathleen Kennedy I'm happy to do it, but the real reason is I didn't want anybody else writing music for Daisy Ridley."
He didn't say Rey.
What a mean, sick it's theme, a fan, dude.
It's a fantastic theme. I mean, to be honest, like I look at what Ludwig did and I look at what Michael, how does he pronounce his last name? Giacchino?
Giacchino sounds... I don't know. You're the half Italian one.
Ryan, how do you pronounce Michael Giannacchio or Giacchino?
I don't know.
I pretty
one
much,
of those options are correct out of the 15 you guys just rattled off.
Yes. I mean, I love all of those. We have other composers that are part of the Star Wars universe now. I'm in for it. But like something about a John Williams score,
dude,
with that theme, like,
yeah.
I mean, we are lucky in so many ways. Protect this man at all costs. Let's put it that way. He's probably already scoring it as we're talking about this on this podcast. He has to be.
He has to be working on some stuff.
I hate to keep going back to Peaky Blinders too, but if you've seen the show, Stephen Knight, as the creator of the show, the vision for the music on that show was, I mean, when you actually watch it, you're like, oh, it totally makes sense. But before that, I would say it's a little bit revolutionary because the story is set in post-World War I Birmingham, England, and you're listening
to all Nick Cave and Royal Blood.
Yes, you're listening to Nick Cave and right. The Black Keys and Royal Blood and all this like nasty, bluesy, trash rock and roll is the soundtrack to this. And so I can't overstate the level of my pumpedness of the way that you know Stephen Knight would envision John Williams' music and his script. Come on, dude.
Oh man, it's like it's one of those things where, you know, you see the lineup and you're like, this is going to be the best thing I've ever seen, and it's easy to let the hype get out of control. So I'm really trying not to do that, but man. It's taken every cell in my body fighting back against the urge to be more pumped about this than anything I can remember.
I like it.
Here's what's sick though. We're going to get the Filoni movie eventually. And obviously Kiner and his kids, his adult kids are going to score that. I can't imagine anyone else doing it.
You think so? Nope. I like it.
I mean,
I think that's great. I like it.
It's going to, of course, include Mando themes, you know? Sure. So it's going to be three or four composers material done by one team of people.
Right.
But it's got to be Kiner and his two offspring.
I like it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, give me a dark synthwavy Blade Runner Dave Filoni movie. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what we're going to get. So this is fantastic news. And I think this is all just shaping up. It's getting that Star Wars hype train. I mean, all of this information is coming out and it's hitting our ears and it's hitting our eyes all on purpose, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it has to, you know what I mean? It's absolutely part of it. So,
everything that we talked about in this episode was dropped within days of each other. To get us to do exactly what we're doing right now and get everyone hyped.
Right.
And it worked.
Right. Right. It worked.
Sith Lady in the Discord chat, thank you for the Merriam-Webster definition with the phonetic spelling of pronunciamento.
Mentos.
Yeah, pronunciamento. Okay. Mentos, the fresh maker. A proclamation, a pronouncement. There we go.
Oh, Julian, you're so kind for you to do that.
I love dictionaries.
I think our last thing, Ryan, let's talk about this real quick. Have you been following with Star Wars Outlaws?
Not to the level of like knowing the characters' names, but when you texted the group today and talked about how it's basically Grand Theft Auto for Star Wars, yes, I have. I have read up enough to know that it is this massive open world. Finally get me to stop playing Call of Duty because we're all going to get on this game and hang out together in a cantina somewhere for the rest of our lives. And I can't wait.
Yep, that's correct. So they it actually moved up its schedule. What's interesting about it is that people were curious. I think Ubisoft, who is known most for open world in the regards to open world, is known most for Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. So if you've ever played those games, they're kind of these big sprawling open worlds. You can travel to different parts of the map and your character is an assassin that goes through time, blah, blah, blah. But they do non-playable characters and they fill these cities with, different people doing different jobs. And you kind of have to interact with basically a whole populace as your one controlled character. So now imagine that, but with Star Wars and you're scoundrel that's got to run a bunch of jobs and the trailer is insane. The trailer shows her trying to escape and a TIE fighter gets blasted and an X-Wing flies by and then a Republic cruiser looks like it's escaping, and then a Star Destroyer comes out of hyperspace and blows the Republic cruiser up. So like already, say less, as the kids say. Say less. I'm in.
And it's a female lead. So how mad are all the internet troll boys about that?
Yeah. So once again, it turns out that Star Wars doesn't really care about your shitty opinions, but it's going to be amazing. And what's really cool about this is that everyone was expecting, there was actually a big install at San Diego Comic-Con this year where you could sit on the speeder bike and it kind of showed you were basically supposed to ride through this almost like this dune from wherever the planet is. And I think I can't say Mos Eisley without saying Mos Eisley anymore.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's branding. It's actually on point. But I think you can actually go to Mos Eisley. You can go to a bunch of different places that are well known. And then you also, I think, Cantonica, which is where Canto Bite is.
Oh.
Yeah. Back me up on that.
I believe you.
Yes, I think we are actually going to be able to possibly go to Canto Bite. And Kijimi from Rise of Skywalker is in play for this game. So it's everyone's curious about when it was supposed to come out. Some people are saying end of 2023. And the safe bet would be end of 2024. And then IGN had to do, or Kotaku, whoever the blog was that posted this great article about it, they actually had to redact their information and not say late 2024. They actually said coming in 2024. So May the 4th drop, new video game for Star Wars.
Mm. Oh, in a kind of content less year, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway, so that's super exciting. And I think that's going to kick off anytime we can take characters out of video games and put them into lore, I'm in, because they've been writing.
It is going to be more like, it's going to be like Assassin's Creed based on the developer. It won't be, as you said, sort of more GTA where we can actually like go into the game and like meet up.
Yeah.
Give me that Star Wars game.
I mean, I think there's supposed to be an online part of it.
I mean, dude, can
it
you?
It would be foolish not to have that.
You guys, we're never going to.
We're going to be just. We're going to have.
Sorry, babe. I'm sorry, babe.
We're never going to leave.
Yeah. We're going to have bed sores and acne from the VR goggles and like,
imagine just rolling into the cantina and seeing each other and just like grabbing a cocktail and, you know, with our blasters at our sky. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's going to be the best. Yeah. Last thing I want to talk about real quick before we go, because we got to go. Zach the Maker said in the patron chat, he wants to know what we think of the Hello There Productions recreation of the Battle of Heroes from Revenge of the Sith in Clone Wars style animation. Ryan, did you watch it?
I haven't had time to watch it. I have a newborn. I'm sorry.
Okay. Right. This is, I think, a one person animation production. There's a big crew of folks who did like a bunch of audio stuff and some rendering and other stuff like that. And voiceover, of course. But it's a multi-year project that this one dude did to not only recreate the entire final battle between Anakin and Obi-Wan, ending with the high ground and so on, but a scene that seems to immediately follow, you know, seems to be like after season 5 of the Clone Wars. So pre-7, anytime in there, Anakin and Obi-Wan talking about how letting Ahsoka go, basically, and Anakin carrying that guilt, you know, letting her quit and not being there for her, not trusting her. I don't remember the exact dialogue, but it's got a little vignette of that, and then it goes straight to the if you're not with me, then you're my enemy. Only a Sith deals in absolutes, you know, on Mustafar, and it plays out the whole thing, but it also adds a little bit of dialogue in some spots.
Yep,
and does certain shots differently, does certain combat moves differently, and it's damn amazing. It is incredible looking.
Is he getting hired, you think? I mean, that's why you spend years making something like that, is to get on the map, right?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
And I do too.
I haven't even seen it yet, but I based on your reaction, I know that it's good.
It's awesome.
All right, I'll watch it.
And the lightsaber stuff is a little more, I guess it's more like season 7 style. It's got the big tracer kind of bends to it. Like, and I'm thinking the I'm thinking Ahsoka versus Maul. Like, you know, it was very, it's actually closest to that because I think there was some motion capture. I didn't watch the behind the scenes stuff, but this dude put in, you know, he and
hours.
His team. Years.
Months.
Yeah.
Years. It's awesome. So go check that out before Lucasfilm probably comes and takes it themselves.
Hello There Productions is the name of the YouTube channel. Check it out. We'll maybe throw in the show notes. All right, dudes, I got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. Patrons, thanks for being with us. Thanks for the Mentos GIF, the blue guy 808 in there. The spot where this pauses, if you don't have this window selected, is it's a Photoshop opportunity. Everyone's seen it.
It is.
Good times. Again, like and subscribe, rate and review, do all the things. Hit the subscribe button. If you're listening and you're not a big YouTube person still, please do us that favor because things are in progress and we need the YouTube stuff to build to make that happen. Present tense.
Go see Story of the Year on tour.
Oh, yeah.
Starts on Friday in Detroit. Adam, I'm reminding you, you are in a band. You guys have to make money by people coming to attend your shows. So
yes.
Maybe I'll see you in Detroit on Friday. That could be fun.
I would love that.
And then also, Mosh Eisley is happening. Actually, we're like basically a month away at this point, right? We are 1 month away from
Four and a half weeks,
Mosh Eisley weekend. So Ryan, how are you feeling? Are you going to be able to attend? Knowing
I'm coming, I have a new fit that it's gonna. You, Mike Forrester, are gonna be very pumped on. I'm there.
Nice.
How many lightsabers are you gonna bring?
Probably two, because I always end up dropping one and breaking it and having to mail it to Jason to fix for me. So I'll bring a backup.
Yeah. So let's bring four just in case.
He currently has the one I brought to Mosh Eisley in New York, and he's fixing it. Okay. So
sure. Okay. You little jerk. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good.
All right. MoshEisley.com. The merch bundles, those are ending Friday, 6th. MoshEisley.com for those. And there's some merch there that will not be available at the actual event. So get the pre-sale bundle. You pick them up at the event. So it's simple. You don't have to worry about shipping. It's good stuff. MoshEisley.com. Everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Dudes, thanks for being here. I love you guys.
Good luck on tour. I love you.
Thanks, bud. And until next time. May the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.